this evening there were so many words that were coming up that were like bits and pieces of what I want to be speaking about tonight. And on Thursday night we got together as a worship group and we actually just, we spoke about the fact that we want to be those that God is pleased with. And I want to have a look at Acts 13 and verse 22. I hope I've got it in the right order here. Okay. So it says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified, he is God, he testified concerning him, David, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Yohandre just said, no, no, I want to be the one that I do what God wants me to do. You know what the scary part is there? After removing Saul, I really don't want to fall into that in my life. I don't want to be the Saul that is removed. 1 Samuel 18, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at some characteristics of Saul and some of David, and we'll see why Saul was removed and why David was put in his place. 1 Samuel 18, 6 to 9, it says, when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the woman came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, with timbrels and lyres, and they danced and they sang, Saul has slain his thousands. You know what? I would have been happy with it if I slain a thousand of my enemy. And David, he's tens of thousands. And I'd have been even more happy with that because he's on my side. So together we're slaying a whole lot of the enemy. But Saul was very angry. And this displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get out of the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. One of the things about Saul, guys, and I want you to, as I say these things, you need to apply to yourself. Because all of these things apply to all of us in different places. Saul was threatened with others. So when he saw others doing a better job than he could do, then he was threatened. He thought, no, man, how can this guy do better than me? I'm the man. I'm the guy that has been anointed as the king of Israel. So it's like me, you know, I'm the pastor. How can you guys prophesy and I can't prophesy? What's going on here? We got to get this thing right. Why am I threatened? And I want to go back here. How to be a man after God's heart. I don't know if you did this when you were growing up, but I did it. When I spoke about my dad, I would say, hey, my dad's strong. He's strong. He's strong with his right arm. He's strong with his left arm. He's strong with his head, his foot, everything. My dad told me when I was growing up, he said, if you get into a fight, make sure you hit first and then kick second when they hit the ground. So my dad, he was my hero. I know everybody hasn't got the same story, but he was my hero. He couldn't do anything wrong except when he gave me a hiding. And then he did a good job there as well. But my dad was the person that I wanted to be like. And you can imagine, this is David. He wants to be like his dad, his father in heaven. He wants to be like his father. I want to be like my dad. And you can see this scripture in Acts 13 and verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king, and God testified concerning him. God testified. You know what? When God says, this is what I say, that's where the story ends. There's no arguments about that. And he says, he will do everything I want him to do. Who knows that David didn't do everything that God wanted him to do? But you know what? David was quick to come to a place of repentance when he fell short of what God had for him. And so we need to be those people. We can't be feeling threatened because, you know, Saul was competitive and insecure, and it actually stopped him from being a worshiper. He never worshiped. You know what? If you go through the scriptures, Saul never ever, it is never said about him that he's a worshiper. Never. Whereas we have David, who God spoke over him. He is a true worshiper. And we see it in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 14. They're having a party. They're busy bringing the Ark of the Covenant back in. And David is dancing so much that his clothes are falling off. Guys, please don't do that. Okay. David did not care. You know, on a Sunday when we're having worship, I'm not saying you have to jump around, because that's not everybody's thing to jump around. But inside of you, you must worship with everything inside of you. And if that results in moving your arms and your feet and your head, that's great. Do that. But make sure that your heart is right, that you are worshiping God. When David was under pressure, he worshipped. What do you do when you're under pressure? Who spoke about Penny? Tell me what your word was again, Penny. I forgot. Oh, you've been through the week and it's been a really difficult time. And then you began to worship, God did something. Guys, when you're under pressure, begin to worship. You don't want to, but be like David. Begin to worship. Be that person that God is going to testify to the fact that that is a man or a woman after my heart. That's the stamp you want on your life. A man after God's heart. On Thursday night, we spoke as a worship group. I spoke with the worship group. And you know what? I'm not saying that's what it was, but today the worship was incredible. I don't know about you, but not that the worship is for us, it's actually for Him, but I just felt the presence of God. When I sense the presence of God, then I know this is where we're supposed to be. So don't be threatened if there's somebody that can do something better than you. Don't be in the worship group and you're like, yo, I can play the guitar better than that oak over there. Check it, me. I can do all these extra chords and look how good I am. And I can do all this stuff. And he's there with little bar chords. Bring, bring, bring. I'm better than him. You see, the problem with comparison, as soon as you start to compare with somebody else, you slip into performance mode. You start to perform because now I want to be better than him. And that's what Saul was like. Saul was always on this thing about, I want to be better than David. So he watched David. Whenever he could, he tried to kill David eventually. He was throwing spears at him. He called David to come and play the harp and help him with the demonic oppression he had. And then he would try and kill David when David helped him. You know what, when in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 20, it says Saul speaks to Samuel. Samuel's the prophet. He's the guy that leads the nation of Israel, and he's got these kings. At that stage, the king was Saul. He says, I went on the mission. So Saul's talking to him, but I did obey the Lord. Because Samuel's telling him, hey, you didn't obey what I told you to do. He says, but I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, and the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. You know what the problem was? Samuel had said to, Saul, I want you to go. I want you to set up the altar. I want you to put the sacrifice on. And then I'm going to come. Because it was the responsibilities of the prophets and priests to actually set that altar on fire. And so Saul's getting like, he's getting agitated because he sees this army that's coming. And he's thinking, hey, where is Samuel? When is he going to get you? Why isn't he here already? And so he says, no, I'm going to do it. And he lights the sacrifice. And Samuel says to him, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? You see, he thought the sacrifice was the thing that would win the battle for them. No, it was the obedience and how he walked that would win the battle for him. You know what? As a king, he impacted on the whole nation. To obey is better than sacrifice. A scripture that everyone's quoted at some time. And they're actually out of context. That doesn't mean the right thing. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. The scripture starts and it says, and he removed Saul. He removed Saul. You see, the scary thing is we think that God won't remove us. We think, oh no, we can't be removed. Let me tell you, you can be removed. God is sovereign. I trust that none of you are removed. But at the same time, I need to warn you that you could be removed. You see, he didn't kill everything as God commanded. And Samuel says to him, what did you do? And so he comes with a whole lot of excuses and blames everybody else. That's what most people do when they get caught out. Then they start trying to blame other people. No, don't do that. Take it on yourself if you're in a place of sin. In 1 Chronicles 21:17, we see a whole different story with David. David said to God, was it not I? What had happened was David had said, take a census of the nation. And God had told him not to do it because he mustn't believe in his own strength as a nation. They must believe in the fact that God is in control. And so God begins to wipe Israel out. And David just goes before God. He says, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I, the shepherd, have sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Lord, my God, let your hand fall on me and my family. But do not let this plague remain on your people. Hey, Lord, I'm sorry. I've made the mistake. Don't take it out on all the people. I made the mistake. I asked for the fighting men to be counted. We can't be those that are living in that place where we're not prepared to take responsibility for what we have done. I wonder if you're sitting there and you're just thinking now and you're thinking, hey, there's that thing in my life that I didn't take responsibility for. You see, and here's the catch. Saul lived in obedience, but it was partial obedience. It wasn't total obedience, not a man after my own heart. Partial obedience. Because he didn't take God seriously. And I think we've got to be careful in the church today that we don't find ourselves in the place where we don't take God seriously. We think, oh, that'll never happen. I want to say to you, it could quite easily happen. Whatever you're saying couldn't happen. A couple of years ago, most of you probably know, I had to have a triple bypass. I never thought that would happen to me. I never thought it would happen to me until the day that I went to the where they do the CAT scans and angiograms, and they told me, your heart can no longer just have stents put in. You have to have bypass surgery. I didn't think that could ever happen, but it did happen. And it was my responsibility. I hadn't looked after this body that God gave me. I didn't eat correctly. I didn't exercise correctly. All those things. You know, people say, oh, yeah, but it, no. My responsibility. I didn't look after what God gave me. We have to take full responsibility. We can't be partially obedient. We can't be obedient to the parts of the word that we like and enjoy. And then we totally disregard the stuff that's difficult, and we like, oh no, we can hold back from this area. In 1 Samuel 15 and verses 1 to 3, yes, this is the actual story of Saul. I'm the one the Lord sent to anoint you, Samuel's right, speaking to Saul, over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. You know what the scary thing for me is? If you look at the things that he didn't kill, they were all the wealth issues, the sheep and the cat. There's no talk of babies. They're gone. Just when God says do it, you do it. Don't even think about it. If this is you, Lord, I want to do it. I want to do it now. I want to be that man that we started in the beginning where it said, God testified. Testified means witness. It means eyewitness. God witnessed that this man is after my heart, a man after God's heart. Don't you want that? I think Yandre said something about everything as he finished off. There is nothing that you can hold back from God. You get to these moments in your life when they're like watershed moments, and you reckon, oh, this can't go on. This has to change. This has to change. My life has to change. It has to line up with what God wants for me. You know what the exciting thing is? Yohandre said, we want to look just like Jesus, or we want to be like Jesus. Let me tell you, David didn't look anything like Jesus. David did so many things wrong. And yet when he came before the Lord and repented, God forgave him and then called him later a man after my own heart. You see, Jesus for me is unattainable. He didn't have sin, but David had plenty of sin. And yet God calls him a man after my own heart. Saul blamed others. David accepted his. You know what? In 1 Chronicles 21 and 17, we have the story of the census. And then 2 Samuel 12 is the story with Nathan, when Nathan comes to David and he says, hey, this is paraphrased. How could you kill the husband of the woman that you want? And David just falls down before God and says, Lord, I repent. Never once did he, no. So what happens? Saul starts well, and you know what? He actually dies in the occult. He commits suicide. Let's go to that scripture, 1 Chronicles 10:13. Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord. Guys, we need to be very aware that we cannot break faith with the Lord. Those that turn their back on God and walk away from Him. and that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. I don't know about you. When I'm watching TV, every now and again you get this, like, what do you call it? Paranormal, you can just feel it. This is not right. And it's like, it's demonic. You can feel. Well, I can feel. I'm turning it off now. I'm not going to watch that. And so it says now, 1 Samuel 16:14, it says, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. Guys, can we live without the Spirit of the Lord? We can't. You may think you can. I'm telling you, you can't. You cannot live without the Spirit of the Lord. You know why? He strengthens you. He enables you. He makes it possible for you to walk with God. You can't do it on your own. I've seen people try and do it on their own, and they're born again people, but they're not walking in the Spirit, and they struggle. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. An evil spirit from the Lord. And that word Lord is Yahweh. It's God. It's not some other thing. It's Yahweh. Tormented him. And he did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death. Hey, I've watched movies where they put people to death. It's not nice, eh? It's never nice. I've watched some movies when in the old days what they did with witches. They would tie them to a post, and it was not nice. Let me tell you, if you think that's bad, can you imagine what it's like when God puts you to death? It's not nice, guys. When God puts you to death, you need to remember that there's an eternity separated from God. He doesn't just kill you physically. He kills you spiritually, and there you are in hell for the rest of your life. The evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. What I believe is that God opens the door for the devil to attack you. You believe the same? Okay, there we go. Huh? Me and John Wesley, we like this, we're tight. So He opens the door. In the New Testament, there's actually a word they use called demonization. And there's different levels of, there's oppression and possession and all those things, but we're not going to go there now. The Lord opened the door for the devil to have his way. And what came from there? The Lord put him to death. I think the Lord must have seen what's happening. Hey, this guy was my king. So better I put him to death than leave him to this guy, the devil. And he turned the kingdom over to David. So we go back to that scripture, Acts 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, after he removed him, so you saw how he removed him. He opened the door and then he put him to death. He didn't mess around. He didn't like, oh, can you come stand over here? He said, no. Devil, had a go. When you finished, okay, now I'm going to kill you. Boom. I sometimes think as Christians, we think, no, this is not the God I serve. Let me tell you, the God we serve is a righteous God. He's a holy God. In the Old Testament, he would wipe out a whole nation. Squatcha. I've got some questions here. Is there something in your life at this moment that you think it's small? But after hearing me saying some things tonight, you think, hey, I need to sort this thing out. I can't stay like this. There cannot be partial obedience. Now, what does that play out? Partial obedience could, first of all, be, I go to church every Sunday, I do all the right things, but actually I've never surrendered my life to God. That's partial obedience. Or I have surrendered my life to the Lord, but I've never got baptized. That's also partial obedience. You need to get baptized. The Holy Spirit is given as a gift, so you don't have to worry about that. But you need to take the first two steps. Partial obedience. Are there things in your life that you know are not right, but you're letting them slide? You must know, for me to preach something like this, I've had to go and examine my own life and make sure there's nothing here that can disqualify myself from what I'm doing. Because you know what? You can't point the finger. And you, because in the army, they used to say, when we used to point the finger, they used to say, yo, one goes there and three come back. And so we can't do that. Partial obedience. I want you to just be thinking, partial obedience, is there anything in my life that needs putting right? The next thing is performance. Because you've compared yourself to others, you find yourself in a place of performance. The problem with performance is that it ends up in pride. And pride is what the devil operates in. Because pride exalts itself. And God says, if you want to do my job, which is to exalt us, then I'll do your job. I'll humble you. So we need to be those. Lord, maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, hey, no, man, this thing that I've left for so long now, Roland's going to make us all come up, stand on the stage. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to ask you, just where you're sitting, just get yourself into your, I don't know if you can do it, I can do it, where it's my little bubble. This is me. This is not my husband, my wife, my friend. This is me now. I want you to get there. And Lord, I just pray that you would help them right now. That if there are areas where there's partial obedience, Lord, salvation, Lord, baptism, Lord, things at work, I do certain things, but I don't do everything that I've been asked to do. I just have partial obedience. Lord, I just worship in the car. I don't read your word and pray as well. I have partial obedience. I really had to examine myself to make sure these things are right in my life. I'm not saying everything is right, but if there is anything. And I don't want you to go on a witch hunt in yourself. I want you to, Holy Spirit, just come right now and point those things out. Point those things out. Highlight them, Lord. Highlight them right now. Lord, I shouted at my wife this morning. I didn't, but I'm saying that for you. On Friday, I screamed at her because I was angry. It's not good. We need to repent of those things. God wants to put His stamp on you, saying, this is a man or woman after my heart. He wants to testify to the fact that you're a man or a woman after His heart. So as you're sitting there, if you're feeling there's an area of partial obedience in your life, something that you know is not completed, you've obeyed, but you haven't gone to where God wants you to go, I wonder if you'd stick your hand up. Just stick your hand up. Thank you, guys. Thanks for being courageous. It's wonderful when you see men and women courageous enough to respond when God speaks to them. Is there any among us that have got a problem with performance? That at times you compare yourself, you think, hey, no, man, that I'm better than that guy. Or, hey, no, he's better than me. It works both ways when the performance begins to happen. see that end as well. Is there anyone else?